Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Soul Sister Radio on Soul Sister Sunday. And this is your host for A Heart for Worship, Becky Phillips. And I just want to welcome you to our show. If you're listening live or if you're listening in the archives, we welcome you. And I hope that you've had a fantastic week. and that this will just be the icing on the cake to start out an even better week ahead. I just want to first thank our sponsors, of course, beautiful Rebecca Lawler Limited and her company, Rebecca Lawler Limited. She is absolutely beautiful, just as her hearts are. And so if you have anyone out there that you have a heart for, cause, or purpose, her heart's a perfect tool and blessing to share with others that can both bless a person financially and just in remembrance. We have very many causes. I can't talk this morning. I apologize. We have a ton of different causes that we use her hearts for, and they are just absolutely exquisite. So please go to our website and check it out. And contact us if you have any information that you would like to find out about those hearts. Also, I'd like to thank B&B Builders and Spa Gyms for their continued support. I know that Maria Magdalena and Church Reboot are very close to the owners of B&B Builders and Spa Gyms. And I'm way up here in Washington, so I have not had the pleasure to meet them yet, but I know that I will soon. And so we just thank you for continually supporting our show. It's been a year now, and we are just growing in leaps and bounds because of God's word and what it's bringing forth to those that are listening. So I just want to open this up in prayer, and then we will dive into the book. Father, we just come to you this morning with humbled hearts, open hearts, and we just love you so much, and we praise you for who you are and what you do every day in our lives to help us get through this journey that we're on. Being with us, being near to us, sitting as your Holy Spirit, reminding us every day that we choose you, and that when we choose you, we choose life. Yet we choose death, we choose life, and that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and it's more than we could ever imagine or fathom. We just thank you so much for that, and we thank you that we can trust you and leave our life in your care and just follow your leading. I just pray, Lord, that the word would come forth today and that we would be ministered to and that we would grow and that we would take this lovely knowledge and wisdom in your word and take it to just be kingdom builders for your kingdom, Father, in our lives, in our family, and those that we encounter on a daily basis. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. So we are now in chapter 11 of Not a Fan by Kyle Idleman, and I just wanted to spend a few minutes today going over this chapter. If anyone doesn't have the book, I really encourage you to buy the book. You can go to his website, notafan.com. You can buy the book at any Christian bookstore. I'm sure it's on Amazon and all those different places, so be sure to pick it up. I know he's coming out with also a teen version of Not a Fan, which would be a great tool if you have a teenager or your teenagers have a friend that could really use a great resource to grow in Christ. That's the way I'm going to put it. This book has challenged me. I hope it's challenged you. I know last week we discussed total surrender in that chapter, and what the Lord poured out in that chapter has just really been with me all week, and it's really led me to question myself in a lot of areas of my life, as I hope it is you, as far as your total surrender to Christ. This week is, the chapter's called Taking Up Your Cross Daily, an Everyday Death. And this chapter, wow, that's all I can really say. It really goes into understanding, and what I love about Kyle Idleman is, you know, like I said last week, he's a pastor of one of the, I think, the top five largest churches in the country. And yet he just blows the top off of churches in America today and just calls it how it is and just says, you know, the churches really sometimes have it wrong. Not intentionally, but they do. And that's the simple fact that a lot of churches have, you know, a church can't really be a church without people. And so a lot of times, and he even admits in his book and in this chapter that when he planted a church down in Los Angeles, California, you know, his goal was to get people in the doors, get people to the churches, and how do you do that? And so he started talking about how he looked at it as a business and built a business plan and tried to come up with an advertising slogan and yada, yada, yada. And what he dives into in this chapter is the difference between Christ slogan to the people and the church's slogan to the people, and that there's a mix-up in our theologies. And right now, across America, our churches have what he calls a snuggy theology. And really, what the theology and the slogan should be is, you know, if you were to drive by a church, you know, the slogan really should read, come and die. But he said, you know, would that bring people in? Not necessarily, because, you know, we've created an image of what being a Christian is. It's just this snuggy, lovely little, put your snuggie on, wrap it around you, and all is good. And it doesn't really dive into the true heart of what Jesus said when he died on the cross for us. So then he goes in to talk about, in the chapter, the symbolism of the cross. And I thought that was pretty interesting because the whole book, like I said previously, is based on Luke 9:23. And if you read that in the New Testament, it says, Jesus then said to them all, if anyone would come after me but deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whomever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose and forfeit himself? And that's the premise of this whole book is, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So this chapter is discussing, really asking us, you know, are we taking up our cross daily? And he goes into a description of Old Testament and back in the day when Jesus was having his ministry, what the cross was a symbol of to the Jews. And it says that, you know, the cross was a symbol of three things. It was a symbol of humiliation, and that in the ancient world, the Romans had a number of ways of carrying out an execution, very cheap. And some would be executed by fire, others were executed by being stoned, some were killed by just a stroke of the sword, or they might even just poison a person, which is funny. I shouldn't say funny, but you think about it, and those are quick ways to die, I guess, but fire does not, I don't know, that's horrible. That's just horrible ways to put someone to death. The crucifixion, though, was required for soldiers to oversee, for the centurion soldiers to oversee, and they did it because it was a public mockery. It was a way to embarrass and humiliate the person that was dying. So that was the first symbol of the cross. The second symbol was the symbol of suffering. And then the third symbol was the symbol of death. And he just goes into detail about what that meant back in ancient Roman times. And the music that I picked today was just really because as I was reading these three symbols, and Kyle talks about how today, you know, we wear crosses as jewelry, and we have it on our T-shirts, and we have it on all these different items, but so many of us never really understood what the true meaning of the cross meant. And there's a part in this book that just really kind of stuck to me last night. It was this paragraph that I want to read. It says, the Bible says Jesus was crucified naked on the cross. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that the followers are to have the same attitude as Jesus, who made himself nothing. Here is Jesus. He is our Creator, the Savior, and the King of Kings. And now the one who had everything made himself nothing. He who had the world at his feet chose to come and wash the feet of the world. If we are going to follow him, it means humbly taking up a cross and making ourselves nothing. And so he just goes on in the book to describe how, you know, they beat Jesus beyond recognition. Then they put that cross on him, and he describes that cross as basically the vertical was a 125-pound beam and was placed on his open wound. And, you know, it's no wonder Jesus had a difficult time carrying the cross as he stumbled down the narrow roads of Via Dolorosa, which is the way of suffering. And so taking up your cross and following Jesus can and will bring pain and suffering, and that we have to get beyond the snuggle theology that if we follow Jesus, then everything's hunky-dory and good, and we shouldn't have any problems. Because the reality is when we choose to follow Christ, we choose pain. pain and suffering, and we choose to lay down our life, and we choose to say each day, Jesus, how do I follow you? I'm picking up my cross. Where do you lead me? Am I going to be missing a meal today for the gospel? Am I going to be serving the poor? Is there a relationship that has to be severed? What is the cost for giving up and following, giving up your life and laying it down and following Jesus? And so he just goes into a little bit more of that and why it's been, it's just watered down right now. The gospel's been watered down. And we really need to question ourselves and say, what are we doing? Are we truly dying daily? And really go before the Lord in prayer, in our prayer time, and ask him. Because if God's faithful, he'll give us the answers that we seek. So as we go into this time of worship, do that. Do that right now. We're starting a new week. We can start afresh, and we can say, God, what is it that you have for us? What is it you have that we need to be doing differently as far as laying down our life and carrying our cross just as you carried the cross? So I hope that this time of worship blesses you and you hear from the Lord. Enjoy the worship music.
On the Via Dolorosa. In the give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
When you die to yourself, it may sound like torture, but you're really getting the life that you want. And it's a twist of irony because we find that then when we are giving up our lives, we're actually getting the life we so desperately wanted. So tune in to Reboot next and enjoy your week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple. This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is. And so, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sisters Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria DiGiovanni and Magdalena Gomez, and we will be having Rebecca on a little bit later with us, and she will be joining us a little bit later here on Reboot on Soul Sister Sunday. I'm going to go ahead. We've been doing a series this, we've been doing it for how many weeks, Magdalena?
Well, 1 week on and 2 weeks off,
And now we're
back on.
So, but before we do, we're talking about discipleship, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I want to say thank you so much to Becky. And if you're still here, let's put you on. You do such an amazing job today. And today it was so different. What inspires you as today, as you know, today is the day the Lord has made?
What inspires me? Jesus inspires me. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but it's just true. I just love him so much, and his Holy Spirit is such an amazing gift, and the more that I'm in his word, the more I fall in love with him, and I just trust wherever he leads me. So I tend to, at least with this book, as I'm reading it, you know, sometimes it takes me a while to get music because I have to sit and read the book and then just say, okay, Lord, what music do I use? And you know that when you guys are prepping for Reboot, you just kind of go where the Spirit leads you, and it's just amazing.
It is. What's really great is, and I say this to all of the ambassadors or ambassador candidates and all of the spokespeople out there, that truly when you let go and let God really work and speak through you, you just show up and he kind of takes the reins. And it's pretty amazing when you kind of like set yourself up on a shelf and just watch it all happen. So I know that's what you do, and that's called the Holy Spirit and the anointing, as we all learn more and more what that really means. Especially, I want to send out a special wow and thank you to all of our archive listeners. It amazes me, and I was blown away and humbled as I want to say happy anniversary. And Becky, it is your anniversary with us too, your soul sister. And even though Heart for Worship started a little bit after Reboot, it's definitely our anniversary weekend. We started on January 8th of last year. And we passed the 8th this Tuesday, and his grace before he passed away was on the 16th from the Imperial Order of Constantine the Great, St. Helen. And that is such a blessing to have that show, as it explains so much. And definitely a show, Becky, if you haven't listened to it, because now as you start to prepare to become a dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helen yourself, how do you feel about that?
You know, I was just going to tell you, I'm really excited. I've been reading a really powerful book, and I'm just going to keep it quiet right now, just because I'm not through with it, and I'm just supposed to. But I was moved. You know, we're doing a series on discipleship, and I remember when I first started being discipled, how new it all was to me. And even now, it's still new to me. And as I was saying, you get in the Word, and it just feeds you and feeds you and feeds you. And I'm reading this book and learning through the book and through Scripture some things I've needed to learn for many, many years. I've been a Christian for 16 years. And after 16 years of walking out my salvation, I'm finally understanding where God's calling me. And as I'm reading this book, it refers back to the battle that Constantine the Great went through. And how he was led by the Lord into this battle from a vision and moving of the Spirit, and him being the first who he brought Christianity into Roman at that time, and he was the first emperor to do so. So when I read that, I just was just more confirmation about where I'm at, and I'm just really blessed. I feel really blessed to be part of what I'm part of.
Tell me, it's a very humbling still to me. I've been involved since 2008, and as the order starts to grow, and we don't usually talk about the order, but today is our anniversary, and if it wasn't for His grace giving me the wings to be able to fly, this show would never be produced. So yeah, all the history that you're learning right now and will be learning about your mother, St. Helen, we are truly under the wings of eagles, and now that Magdalena is a dame and Rebecca is a dame, and God is just preparing His army of ambassadors for Him, and it's truly an amazing place to be, especially for me as I watch the numbers just go up, and it's got to be nothing but the anointing, and that is why this series that Magdalena has been teaching is so vital, and it's so important, and I've been practically living it, and she has been giving me spankies, her little loving spankies, into teaching me truly what a discipleship is. And
because you discipline those you love.
That's right. And you know, it's interesting when you don't have tools, when you come into a situation like We were driving to a situation last night, and I'm thinking, and I asked Magdalena, how do I do this? And she looks at me like, this one I don't know. I go, okay. So it's interesting when you're walking through life with no tools, and all of our relationships are so important, and friendships are the most important, and all of this, the disciples truly had to be really solid in love with each other because they saw Christ in each other, friends, and that loyalty and that I wrote a whole bunch of things. Just the discernment that we have of, and we put that by walking more and more in the Word and by truly learning what a disciple is all about. So I'm going to go ahead and give the reins over to Magdalena. And we do also have a guest on our show today, and I'm actually going to bring him on to say hello as we wait for Dean to join us. I'm not sure if he's going to join us now or if he's going to wait. But we've had this gentleman on our show before, and he truly is a warrior for Christ. He is a guardian in the making as he becomes more and more in balance and in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing for him, because Becky, I'm telling you, as you have heard him before, you know that this truly is a warrior for Christ. So I'm actually going to have Magdalena introduce him, as they have this cute little discipleship friendship between the two of them that I think is amazing. And again, when you're talking disciples, it doesn't mean male or female. It truly just means one body for Christ. And so I'm going to have Magdalena introduce our guest who is with us and how she met him and her vision of where he is in our enterprise here.
Yes, we're going to introduce our brother in Christ. His name is J.B. Real, well, Mom calls him Greg, but, you know.
We don't know Greg.
That must be his name. He gets in trouble. But, JB, he's definitely someone who loves the Lord, and he's out there, and he's preaching the Word, and, you know, just like anybody, yeah, he preaches the Word with compassion, and he truly is, we'll say, a gangster for Christ, you know. And, you know, sometimes our faith can get us in trouble because we speak the truth. And he has put up with a lot of persecution. But because of that, we know that God definitely has a place reserved for him in heaven, you know. And we're just so happy to have you on the show. We're so happy to share about your faith and how you pray about us, and, you know, how you are out there. So if you can just share, you know, what it means to you to be a disciple.
Okay, good morning. I appreciate you having me on again. It's always good to be around you guys because you always uplift me anytime my spirits down, you have a special way of picking me up. So it really means a lot. I just wanted to say that first and foremost. But being a disciple, wow, I mean, what a commitment. I don't know, I'm not sure if everybody fully understands when they first get into trying to understand Jesus and what he wants from us and what we can do for him, you know, to at least show some kind of appreciation for what he did for us. But it's really uncertain, you know, what situations that you're going to be put in when you're blindly following him. And, you know, it's sometimes really hard to differentiate between what his will is for you and, you know, what your will is for yourself. And that just, I guess this comes with your relationship with God, being able to understand how he talks to you, because I believe he talks to people in different ways. So yeah, I mean, it's really all that's important when it comes down to it is what we can do for him to try to wake people up that are asleep, find lost sheep, and really just speak out, you know, against the evil that's coming upon, you know, our country and the world, even though it's already been prophesied. So I don't know if we have we don't have all day for me to explain, you know, different things that even just in the last year that I've gone through, you know, attempting to do as well. But it's definitely not easy, that's for sure. It's not for the faint of heart. You know, it can be life or death. I don't think it's always going to be that serious. It's a lot of fun and laughter and joy as well. But anybody that's really living for God in this world and are willing to lay their lives down for him, literally, they're going to be targeted because the devil doesn't like that at all. His time is short, and he feels he has souls, and he's trying to build on the ones that he already has. And so he definitely doesn't want us plucking the souls from his clutches, and he'll definitely try to make your life difficult for you, to say the least, when he knows that you are, you know, a warrior, as Magdalena says, for him. And
for
that makes this involve physical confrontation or not, I don't know.
Well, JB, you always share with great insight. You know, you're very relatable, and I know that you have been targeted because you speak the truth in love, and you're not afraid. You are bold. You are bold, and that's what we love about you. And it's so refreshing to hear somebody who is so well versed in the scripture and really really understands them. And you definitely have such amazing insight and wisdom, and we are so proud to call you brother. We're going to start off with a prayer, so if anybody can hold hands spiritually, you know, we are gathering here together as a church today, as a family, as God intended, and thank you so much, Father God, for bringing all these souls together. They are listening to the show, they are opening up their hearts to you. As we get to study your word, Father, it is our daily bread, it is our food, it is our discernment. It's what opens our eyes to see the way that you see life, Father, and how you intended life for us, and how much you love us, and how you gave your son for each and every one of us, so that we may have this opportunity to have a relationship with you, that we may call you Father, that we may come before you and pray and give you thanks and seek your forgiveness, seek your grace, seek your wisdom, Father, and all the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Becky was sharing. We are so grateful to have her as part of our team, Father. We pray for special blessings to be bestowed upon her, Father, because each and every day you are making her stronger in her walk as she shares the word, as she shares, you know, her vision that you have for her, Father. And it's amazing how through each and every one of us, you teach us so that we can teach others. You open our eyes, and I really pray that we can open people's eyes and soften their hearts towards you, Father, because our salvation is through you, through your son Jesus, and really about your will, Father. We thank you for everyone who is behind the scenes with the shows, Maria producing the shows and everything that she does. We thank you, Rebecca Lawler, for your sponsorship and for your blessing of having you on the show and just your special heart to give to others, your generosity. We want to thank Dean Milo for his show, Father, and just that his wisdom and his insight and his way of teaching and his convictions. We want to pray and thank you for Jimmy James for being our music producer and working behind the scenes. We pray that you bring blessings upon him. We pray for all our Soul Sister listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether live or archived. Know that you are being prayed for and that this show is for you. This is a show that we can grow together as a family. I also want to thank our sponsor, B&B Builders. We thank you so much, Robert. We pray for you. We love you so much, and we just pray for blessings over you and really that God is providing and that you may have a smile on your face when you listen to this. And we pray for the events to be coming up next week. We pray for our celebrations. We thank you so much for an anniversary of our show. And it's truly amazing how just through an idea and a vision, we are able to share our hearts with our listeners. And we just pray for your arms of protection over us. We pray that we can, truly be warriors in fighting sins of life, Father, whatever our weaknesses are, because we have them. We all have something that we are, that Satan will try to snatch us and snare us and try to devour us like a lion, because that is his role, Father. But help us to lift up our shields. Let us fight Satan with the word, Father, because that's what we are learning today. And we love you so much. We thank you. We pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who just need an ounce of faith the size of a mustard seed, Father. And we thank you for all the angels. And thank you so much for Lady Grace being on with us, too. We are so blessed. She is one of our angels. And she is a special ambassador, and we love her so much. And we pray for all her endeavors upcoming with the inaugural celebration and for her the projects that we will be working on together. We pray for the order that we are all a part of. We love you, Father God, in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, we've already gone through 20 minutes, but JB, this song, I didn't know why God had me want us to play it right now, because it's actually the opening of one of our new shows called PTH, Prayers That Heal, on Thursdays with Corrine Walton. But I'm going to play it right now, and I'm going to play it before we start the program, because sometimes being a disciple for Christ and an ambassador for him, It's lonely a little bit, and I love that we can be lonely in him. And this song is from Los Lonely Boys, and they're a little gangsta just like you. So right now I think we're experiencing a little bit of heaven. So let's go ahead and listen to heaven.
How far is heaven? And I know that I
Continue with discipleship with Magdalena.
Yes, what we've been studying is the Word of God, and just a quick review, we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's basically relevant to our lives today, even if it was written over 2,000 years ago. We know that it basically, the Word is here to help us to make appropriate changes in our lives and basically to help us cut the sin out of our lives, because it's really here to teach us, as it said, to correct us, rebuke us, and just so that we can have that understanding and really walk a walk with God. It is not based on our, salvation is not based on our intellectual beliefs or our feelings. It is really about holding on to the teachings, and I believe we used a little cliff analogy. If you're like trip and you fall and you're like on a cliff, you're not going to hold on with your pinky. You're going to hold on with two fists and you're going to hold on tight. And this is what we're learning about, you know, the Word of God. It's really just adhering to it. Is it easy? No. I mean, it truly is about making a daily commitment, because we all fall short, and that's the reason we need to fall before God and ask for His help, because really He's the chauffeur of our lives, and even though we're active backseat drivers, He's really the one with the steering wheel, and it's, you know, sincerity does not equal truth. So just when we feel that we're sincere about something doesn't mean that we should go that way just because it's our feelings. We really have to lean on the Word for our complete understanding. Again, traditions will not be salvation for us, as we read about the Pharisees and their traditions that, you know, basically voided out what the Word of God said because they're going off of their religious traditions and even complaining about the disciples not washing their hands. But Jesus is like, well, here you guys, you know, tithe but don't take care of your parents. So, like, you know, you're nullifying the Word of God. So, you know, it's more than just that. And also it's about our life and doctrine, which is more important, our life or our doctrine. And it's really, it's both, because whatever our teachings are from, that's the life that we're going to walk, or we either walk the walk, the talk, or we don't. And so it's about really watching our life closely, because it is through our example that we will be able to reach out to others, and that we can truly be an inspiration of what it is to have a relationship with God. And it's an everyday thing. And I think about it like when someone's starting a new relationship, they're really excited about getting to know that person, calling them, sending them little messages. And that's what our relationship with God should be. It should be something beautiful. It should be something that we're just eager to have. And, you know, the first person that we think about, because they bring a smile to our face, and how we can be encouraging to them, how we could
make them smile or uplift their spirits. And when we reach into the Word of God, that's what it is. God is teaching us and showing us His love and the good that our life will be as we follow the Word. And I do want to start off in Acts 17, chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. So I do have to flip my Bible over there too. So Acts 17. For you who have your Bibles over there, and it is verse 10 to 12. It says, "In Berea, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believe, as did a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men." So in this verse, we read about the Bereans and how they were so eager to learn the scriptures that they actually went to study to see what Paul said. And any true disciple will not just believe what they hear, but they'll actually study it. And that's the difference. And this was the heart of the Bereans. They were eager to know the truth. And because of this, it says that many believed. And so did a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. So there is power in the Word, and it's amazing. And this is just a heart that we need to have. We need to be eager and really study the scriptures to make sure that what people are preaching us to us is the truth. Because as we spoke about in one of the songs, Word Up, there's so many false prophets out there. And teaching, and because we are vulnerable, we want to believe, but if we don't study the scriptures for ourselves, we are basically left vulnerable to believe and to be, you know, led astray. And do you have any insight on that, Maria, or just
what I've learned, again, coming from a Catholic background? Not really getting a lot of what I knew to be the Word. I knew they were, what would we call them?
They were missalettes.
Yeah, missalettes, but they were what? We didn't even call them scriptures. I don't know what we called them. Anyway.
I mean, I didn't know I was reading. I didn't know that what was in this
missalette was the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. So learning and reading and the Word of God, what I've learned is practically He's taught it, because it is within you, but learning it and reading it and really knowing what words are for is the most important thing. So I thank you, Magdalena, for sharing. Dean just came on. So, Dean, did you want to say something?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, and what an awesome morning that this is, and I hope you two are doing great. It sounds great on the air, by the way.
I'm good.
I'm listening to you both on the air, and it actually sounds great. What Magdalena says there is you know, really profound, because you know, a lot of people cannot get the concept that the Bible wasn't that long ago. And when I say the Bible, I'm meaning the time that Magdalena is speaking about, around 1900 years ago. It's not that long ago. And we watch movies and seem to think that Hollywood has it so correct. We watch Alexander with the Angelina Jolie, and we have to realize that was a thousand years before Christ. And when we put it in perspective, it's just amazing that this isn't that long ago.
Exactly. We're going to jump into our next scripture, and this is, I do want to get JB's insight on this. Actually, can we take a break real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a commercial break, and we will be right back in. And Dean, I don't know if you've ever met JB, so here we go with our station identification. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
All right, we are back.
We are back with so much love for everyone. We're going to turn our Bibles to John 12:48. And really, you know, this is a question that we need to ask ourselves, why study the Bible? So John 12:48, it says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. It says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him on the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So he's saying that the judge is the one who, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him on the last day. And everything that is spoken from our Father God is in the Bible. So he's basically saying our life will be compared to the Bible standard. It's like having a final written, you know, you're in college or whatever it is, and the professor says it's an open book test. So you can use your book to take this test. And basically that's pretty much the same with the Bible. Our life, I mean, God has given us this book that is full of his word, and he's saying your life will be compared to what is in this book. And that's really huge. And it's like, wow, I have the opportunity to read this book, but not only read it, but really apply the word to my life, because God and, you know, my life will be compared to this book and how true I was or was not. And I know it is truly about holding on to his word and really living a life of a disciple. And yes, we always fall short, and this is why we need disciples in our lives to help to pick us up when we fall down, just like David had Nathan when, you know, he sinned. He called him out and said, brother, you know, this is what's going on, and you need to pray, you need to repent. And it's really about calling each other higher, about reminding us of our purpose here on earth and God's will for us. And so there is a huge responsibility when we become aware of what is in the Bible, and really about carrying our cross daily, because it is a daily commitment to try to do the right thing, because we are inspired by God's love. And I really do want to get JB's input, because I know how much he loves God too. JB?
Yes, I'm here.
Your thought on all this?
Oh, well, I mean, in regards to what specifically?
Basically, the word judging us at the end of time, so God will compare our life to his word and why it's here for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we all are going to be standing before the judgment seat of God. I mean, we know that, but we also know that we have forgiveness, you know, from him. So there's really not much of a worry in that. You just, I mean, whenever you care about somebody, you're going to want to do things that please them. So, you know, even though we're forgiven and, you know, it says all things are permissible, but all things are not beneficial. You know, instead of like a slave driver, it's more just like our friend, like our father, just trying to give us instructions on how we can have a more fulfilling life. So if we follow, you know, those, I guess the guidance that he gives us, then that just gives us a better chance to to find happiness in this crazy world, because it's not going to be easy, like I said, whenever you follow him. So it's good to take comfort in that, that all of this that we're going through, all of the pain that we deal with as humans, you know, the loss in relationships, you know, betrayals that we have with people we care about. It's just good to know that we're going to be able to go back to our Father, and there's not going to be any of that there. And we can actually, you know, get the appreciation and show the appreciation to him as well, that we're all in it for the same thing. You know, we're all in it to promote love and to try to give people a better understanding of who God is, which, you know, always starts with the scriptures, because the Word is God. You know, the Word, Jesus was the Word in the flesh. So the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God in the New Testament. You know, God was slaying whole nations for disobeying. You know, even the Jonah and the whale, that story where he was going to destroy Nineveh and didn't. I mean, it's just been a constant relationship with us, disciplining us, I guess, as we were less evolved as humans. And I suppose eventually as a human race, we got evolved enough to where he could enact the next part of his plan, which is to show us, you know, once and for all, that he does love us, you know, by making a spectacle of himself, as he calls it, in front of the world, and going through the agony of the cross, you know, once and for all, and knowing that he only had one life down here. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted to do when he came down here in flesh. You know, he could have been, you know, king of the world, had as many women as he wanted. All of that. And he chose to not do that. He chose to serve other people and live, you know, meagerly. And that's important, because we live in like a Hollywood world. Now everybody wants to be a star. Everybody's out for themselves. What's in it for me? You know, and that's not the message of Jesus. So it's tough to live like that in a world like this that promotes, you know, self over selfless. But I know that one day he's gonna be back, you know, soon, and that gives me comfort that the world's not gonna remain in its current state for that much longer.
Well, amen, JB. And really, I'm this scripture really makes us think, you know, what will we live our life by the word or by the world standards, like you said, you know, this Hollywood perfect image of being somebody important, you know, but by trying to be everything else, we overlook and forsake our very selves, our very souls. So as we jump into the next song that we heard before, it's called What Are Words? Just think about it. What is the word of God to you, and what is your standard?
Anywhere you are, I am here. Anywhere you go, I'll be there. Anytime you whisper my name, you'll see how every single promise I'll keep. 'Cause what kind of guy would I be if I was to leave when you need me most? What are words if you really don't mean them when you say that? Beside her tonight, and I'm gonna be by your side. I would never leave. when she needs me more. What are words if you really don't mean them when you say them? What are words if they're only for good times and it's all? When it's love, yeah, you say to my love, those words, they never go away. Promise I keep, 'cause what kind of guy would I be if I was to leave when you need me most? I'm forever keeping my angel close.
Time I hear that song, I know that it's Christ singing it to us, and it is just the most amazing thing. His word that he left was truly something we could live by, breathe by, work by, love by.
Amen. And as we jump into our next scripture, it's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, which says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So it's basically our job as disciples to teach those. And there's always going to be a baby Christian that wants to learn more about the word or just needs that extra guidance. And we are all called to be those teachers. We are all called to hold somebody's hand and help them walk the walk, as, you know, each and every one of us are on just different spiritual levels. The way I think of it, about it, it's like a video game. You get the, you know, video game series. You always start off in the first level, and you'll get killed off or whatever it is. And it's a skill, and it takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes practice. And, you know, sometimes reading a manual, whatever it is, but it's both. It's life and doctrine. And it's really, that's what we're called to do, is to go and teach people. And really about presenting everyone perfect before Christ. So it's like taking on a project and just polishing it off so it could, when you present it, it is the most beautiful presentation. And that's what the word does. It really is a cleansing. It builds character within us. So I look forward to helping somebody walk that walk, and that their faith, their baby faith, inspires me back, because it is that kind of a relationship when you have someone in your life who is mentoring you through their teachings, and the fruit that it produces within your own life is inspiration to that one person, because It is God's love that is really walking us through. And then I want to jump into Proverbs 3, 1 through 2. And the name of this chapter is called Further Benefit of Wisdom. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I'm going to read a little further. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. So keep it basically close to your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Because, yeah, I was walking a very windy road there. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. When, you know, we're holding up our shield, it's that reflection. We're going to hold it up. It's not going to be easy, because here we're fighting the battle
And as you know, or even think of like in the movie 300, you know, the warriors, they lift up their shields. And, you know, these shields are very, very heavy. And this is the shield that will protect our lives when we protect ourselves with the word. And it says, by shunning evil, this will bring health to your body. Amen. Because I believe that really our health is a spiritual wealth. And it's nourishment to our bones. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. And this is where what I always tell Maria, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son delights in. And that's why it's okay to give spiritual spankies, you know, because it's admonishment. Like if we have a child and they're trying to play with fire, they're going to get burned, and we're going to discipline them or admonishment out of love because we're trying to protect them. And that's how we walk life sometimes. You know, we walk through fire thinking we're going to be okay, but we're just really hurting ourselves and jeopardizing. And it's really, you know, the word teaches us about God's love and even the love he wants us to have for our very selves. Because in loving ourselves, we learn God's love. And this is when we can share the word and how it really changes us. And we just want to say a special hello to our special, special friend, Robert, who is on the line with us, who is listening live. We are so proud of you. We love you. We thank you for everything that you do for us. You are truly a disciple and just being a provider. You're just the fact that you're our neighbor and you give us protection, that we know that we can always count on you. And we just pray for so many blessings from the Holy Spirit and really, you know, everything that the Bible is teaching us. And we just love your eager heart to learn the word and to just really go out there. So we say special blessings to you, Robert. We love you so much. And it's your time to shine. God is placing a crown of glory upon your head. And he's looking at you and he's saying, Robert, you're my son. I love you so much. I'm so happy that you're with me. I know that's what he's saying. And he's looking at you so proudly. And we just thank you and love you, Robert.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And last but not least, we are going to look in the book of Deuteronomy, which is one of the first five books of the Bible here. And we're looking at 32, as I flip through here, 32 through 44, 47. Here it is. It says, Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. And so basically, even from the beginning of time, the word was always there to teach us something. And here, you can read that. There's some insight that came from one of our lady sisters, Susie Ortiz, and she's saying, and then John 5:13, the things I have written unto you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He has already settled the eternal outcome of things. No matter what we think or do, it's already done.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
So this is what the Word of God is. It's really our salvation. This is the book of life that will be our final test. So think of your life going through an open book exam, and we are here to learn, and really that this is what's gonna help our lives in so many ways. But yes, as JB stated, we will face opposition. We will be attacked by Satan because this is his purpose. He doesn't want us to learn. He doesn't want to teach us to teach other people. People are going to experience internet connection problems, mm-hmm. or, you know, their computer's not working or not finding their Bible, or something happens where they can't go to church or have their one-on-one meeting with somebody. I mean, every kind of chaos imaginable is going to happen, but it's up to us to make it happen because we want to, and we know because that's what's pleasing and satisfying to God. So we just want to thank you so much for listening to the Word of God today, and I know we have some other special tunes to play.
Well, before we play anything more, actually, I just want to say, wow, welcome to Rebecca. I'm sorry that you're just coming in at the tail end, but I want to tell you,
that was amazing.
This entire show has been amazing. We have JB, we have Dean, we have Lady Grace, we have Robert from B&B Builders, we have Lady Susie Ortiz, Susan, in our chat room, manning our chat room, and thank you so much, Lady Susan, for joining us in our chat room today. And wow, this is what it's all about. This is what discipleship is at its finest, is all of us coming from all walks of life, all parts of the world. We have people in the Bahamas listening, in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, here in the United States. We have Lady Grace in Washington, D.C. We have Rebecca in Virginia. We have Dean over in the other, over by Disneyland. We have Robert next door. We have Lady Susan in on the other side of the valley, and it's just JB is in Los Angeles, and it's just an incredible, this is what discipleship is all about. This is what rebooting the definition of church is all about, because here we are, we're all coming together, we're spending our time here, we've been doing it for a year, consistently, for 1 year, without missing 1 week, and so Rebecca, what do you think about that?
Well, I know that we have talked about this before, and how we wanted to make this happen like 16 years ago, and how God has opened up the door. You know, I had gone to, had been a part of several different churches, and we wanted to start something that was different, really where there was no money involved, and where people would come together from all different walks of life, read the Bible, which, Magdalena, that was beautiful what you just shared. It touched my heart, and worship together, pray together, read the Word of God, and have the Holy Spirit as we know Him involved in our lives and this show. So I'm excited. I feel like it's been a blessing to my life the past year, and just the people that have come into our lives and the opportunities that we've had to be together and see just the blessings from above have been amazing.
Amen.
And it's been challenging, too. We've had challenges this year.
As Magdalena was saying,
there will be an internet interception there sometime. So, and
exactly.
That's natural when you are trying to really do God's work. So,
exactly.
Y'all are a blessing. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for being in my life.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and close out. And actually, JB, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you close us out in prayer. And then we're going to listen to a song before Dean starts Center Sanctuary. So, JB, would you like to close us out in prayer? And then I'm going to play our last song called Destiny that I want us all just to sit back, close our eyes, and listen to the words of this song. So, JB, why don't you close us out in prayer?
Yeah, sure. And before we disconnect, I just wanted to leave you guys with something else. That if we have time, just let me know if I can leave that whenever we're done. But certainly I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing everybody together. Thank you for the common purpose that we all share. I would ask that you would please bless each and every one of us and our families. Please give us wisdom and knowledge in order to continue to grow in you and in your word to become more effective disciples for what we have coming up for us here in these last days. Thank you for the love that you've shown us, and I really pray that you would continue to teach us your version of love, because it's very hard for us to understand as humans the depth of your love here or down here. And just protect us daily. Please continue to give us confidence to battle the forces that are opposing us, and help us to reach as many people as possible. And please give our leaders the wisdom to continue to grow this ministry in the ways that you see fit. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Go ahead, JB.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, just kind of like a quick thing. I just find interesting, like, really history for some reason, I guess, because, you know, what happens now is usually history repeating itself. And I remember in Hebrews it says that, you know, this world here is just a copy of the heavenly things. And so I really get interested in kind of wanting to learn the history of heaven, you know, before earth was created and, you know, the battle in heaven and how everything happened. And I guess some time ago, within the last year, I came across this passage, and I believe it was 1 Samuel, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm sorry, it was 2 Samuel 15. And if you happen to read it, you might find some parallels because, you know, a lot of people base the, I guess the history is there was a conflict in heaven, you know, between God and Lucifer, Lucifer wanting to become God and so on, and he ended up getting cast down. You know, there's not much discussion of it in the Bible. Of course, like in Psalms, I believe it said he fell like from lightning from heaven. But if you read 2 Samuel 15, it's the parallels are uncanny. When it talks about Absalom, you know, and you can almost substitute Absalom for Lucifer and David for God, because to make a long story short, Absalom was his right-hand man, and David was presiding over the courts in his kingdom, and he wasn't able to hear, you know, every dispute every day, and some people were starting to get disgruntled, and so Absalom used that opportunity to try to turn the hearts away from David and onto himself, saying, "Oh, surely I would have heard in your favor. You know, David obviously doesn't care as much as I care about you." And so David's kingdom ended up getting divided and ended up having a civil war between Absalom and the people that he turned away and David and the people that stayed loyal to David. And that's, to me, this seems very close to the story that we've been taught, that there was a division in heaven. And, you know, as it says in Revelation, the angels fought against each other. So just if you guys have time and you want to read 2 Samuel 15, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that, if that's God speaking to us, maybe sort of like he speaks in parables to try to teach us some of heaven's history that we don't really get outlined in the Bible like that. So.
Well, thank you so much, JB. And with that, we're going to go ahead, take a commercial break, and we're going to go right into Sinner Sanctuary. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on Reboot with Maria Magdalena and Rebecca Lawler, and we will be back with Sinner Sanctuary with Dean Milo in one moment.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning to everybody, and what a great show. I want to thank everybody for joining Maria and Magdalena on for this morning. It was phenomenal. Thank our sponsors, of course, Robert at D&B, and of course Rebecca Lawler, Jimmy James. Absolutely wonderful show this morning. I want to thank you for listening. My name is Dean Milo. This is the Sinner Sanctuary show, where we talk a little bit differently about you know, church and what it's like to be a Christian and what it's like not to be a Christian. You know, we're all sinners. We're all born sinners, powerless against it, unable to cope with it, constantly searching for a balance, constantly aiming for a true mark, but never really achieving it. what we're going to talk to about today is something I've been teasing for the past, I don't know, gosh, probably about a month and a half. But we're going to talk about David, King David. From, as you were a kid, we were taught about the famous David and Goliath. When we were children back in the old days on Sunday morning, there was this claymation show, kind of like Gumby, called Davy and Goliath. I don't know if anybody remembers that. It was done by the Lutheran Broadcasting Company. It was really good. Great children's television program that ended with a really phenomenal Christian biblical message at the end. Usually of grace and salvation and the good things in life. A little bit different than what our children are having to grow up today with, and with the violence and sex on TV. But, you know, that's a sermon for another day. What we're going to talk about today is David. King David, the person that seems to have the God's special little place in God's heart. You know, it's really tough to take that God seems to, you know, like some people more than others. But it's true. He really, really liked David. David did some really phenomenally great things. And this is, you know, people say, oh, you know, God loved David, you know, and was a man of God's own heart, you know, because he repented so many times. Well, not really the facts. God gave him that special title even before he did all his treacherous acts of sin. So this has been a love affair going on, you know, way before the good stuff that we're about to talk about. So God seems to like certain people a little bit more than others. And that's okay. You know what that means? That means that God is just like me and you. Again, let's pretend and put the super spirituality away. Put your brain back on. Leave the wackiness at the door. God likes people, certain people more than others, just like you and me. I have a best friend. I have a frenemy. I have a guy that I hate. I have a guy that he's cool, but, you know, whatever. I have a girl that she's in love with me. I have a girl that I really like. I have a girl that I don't like. I have a Christian friend that I think is really, really on top of his game and phenomenal. I really like hanging out with him. I have another Christian friend that I can't stand being around. Everything that comes out of his mouth is hypocritical. I'm sick of it. So, I guess God's just like me. He seems to like David more than others. The Bible's an amazing piece of a document. His letter to us is an amazing piece of work. So we're going to talk a little bit about David here, why, a little bit of what makes him probably one of the most unbelievable acting humans in the Bible. Why, you know, forgiveness and God's promise to us exists. So we're going to take a quick station identification and a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back to start.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back. My name is Dean Milo, and this is the Soul. This is Soul Sister Network, and this is Center Sanctuary. And thank you for being here. We're going to talk about David, a man that God really, really enjoys. You know, God loves him so much. You know, because you know God was impressed with his ability to fight for what was right. You know, his faithfulness to God's word. When I say that, is that David was in love with the Bible, and he did everything he could to protect the Ten Commandments, and that's why I think God loved him so much, because he was faithful to the word. He wasn't sinless. He fell, but he was kind of like a guy that really took the Bible seriously and wanted to protect it. That's why his commission to remove the Ark of the Covenant was so great to David, and I think God looked at him and said, "Wow, impressive." Along with many other things that we learn in Scripture about David. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about the good things. We're here to talk about the bad things. That's why I love this show. That's why I like doing it. So let's fast forward from the time that David kills the great giant Goliath, the young man, young boy. And now he's king. He's sitting on top of his grand palace. And lo and behold, this peeping Tom sees from his ledge a woman in the nude taking a bath. Well, you know, let's think about that just for a second in that ramification. So we know that now he's a voyeur, okay? He has obviously a perched high spot. When you have money, you live with a view. You live on the beach or you live with a view. So here he is. He's looking down and he sees this girl bathing. He's smitten by it. Lustful desires start creeping up. Things start blooming. And what does he do? He uses his power to call for her. Find out about her. Call for her. Have sex with her. Imagine having that kind of power. Imagine going up and looking and pointing at any girl and having your servants go bring her up, no matter if she's married or not, and able to have sex with her. It's good stuff, huh? Nice guy, huh? Well, that's exactly what happened. Well, lo and behold, not only she was staked and she was married, not only was she married, she was married to a prominent soldier in his own army. So let's talk about real terms. It's like having the late great General Schwarzkopf's wife having an affair with President Obama. Or back in the old days, President Bush, number one. It's unheard of. So here it's happening, an adulterous affair, starts with voyeurism, an act of voyeurism. It ends with an act of sex. A with a married woman. We're starting off major. This is already big. So we're talking about voyeurism. We're talking about sexual desire, the acting out of it, on it, adultery. You notice I never said that she was unwilling. Well, she was willing. So you have two adults committing acts of adultery. The personal aspects of it are the fact that this is his own general's wife. In the meantime, this general, he's out fighting wars. He's with his men. As a matter of fact, he's one of these generals that is like Patton. He's what they call the field commander. He wasn't the kind of general that would just sit back from a mounted distance on a horse with a spyglass and watch it all. He was actually in the thick of battle with his men, taking oaths with his men, fighting. This is the best type of generals you can have. The Pattons, the Shermans, the Rommels, these are field commanders. The kind of general that the men, when he's hanging around, all of a sudden they've become a fighting force like no other. Imagine if your commander is right there next to you instead of being way, way back, you know, 150, 200 yards in the back of you. But he's right there in the thick of it. That's the kind of general Bathsheba's husband, the adulterous wife's husband, the general's wife, was. He was that kind of general, that good. And this is how ugly and despicable this story gets. So David's digging this. You know, he's able to, you know, he's able to sample from the goodies. Wives of his generals, watch him bathe from a distance, get aroused, act on that arousal, wonderful stuff. Ready? What happens? Yeah, I think you guys know the story. What happens? What happens when two people do this? You get pregnant. You have a baby. Well, this is where it becomes a little bit problematic, because you just can't have an immaculate conception unless you're Mary from Nazareth many, 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 many years afterwards. So this woman that David has an adulterous relationship with becomes pregnant. David has to come up with a plan. Okay, let's work on this. If I bring Uriah home, that's his name, by the way. If I bring my general Uriah home, I can get him to have sex with her, pretend like they had sex, and then we can mask it as his kid. What a great, great idea. Not only is he a peeping Tom, not only is he an adulterer, not only is he a liar, he's also a schemer. Come up with outrageous plans to cover his sin. And this is a man, this is one of God's favorite guys. Isn't that great? Isn't that great for you and me to know that? If this is a guy after God's own heart, boy, I'm in good shape. What a jerk. All you women out there who hate men, yeah, well, here's a good one to hate. Story even gets better. Are you ready? Uriah refuses to leave his troops because he's that kind of soldier. David commands it, brings him in to the palace grounds, tells Uriah, please, I just want you to, I know how great you've been doing, bro. You've been excellent, you know, hup two. But I don't want, I want you to go home, and I want your wife to wash your feet, you know. A wink, wink, nod, nod. I want you to go home and have sex with your wife. So even though the timing's probably not correct, it's going to look like you're how you made your wife pregnant. Isn't that amazing? What a scheme. This is right out of One Life to Live, General Hospital. That's one thing about the Bible. It's got it all. It's got murder. It's got intrigue. It's got sex. It's got it all. It's got torture. You name it. After coming up with this ridiculous scheme, you'd think that David would be at this point thinking about what's going on, but no, he's ready. He's still in the wave of lust, you see. And when you know all of a sudden, you know, a girl comes up pregnant, it's you even become more attached. So now, you know, he's got to figure out, he's got to cover all his bases, cross all his T's to make sure that the timing is correct. Uriah comes in town, has sex with Bathsheba, covers David's tracks, even though most ready, you know, just like today, it's just like then. You have people who are on the path. There's whispers. That's standard. It's, you know what it's called? It's called gossip. Upstairs, downstairs. There's a really popular television program right now with Brit on BBC. I don't watch it, but they say it's a lot like Upstairs, Downstairs, that old show back in the 70s. Well, believe me, you know, back then in biblical times, it's no different. You had servants talking, you know, the yap, 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 yap. Oh, did you see Bathsheba? Oh, she came over here the other night. Her and David were there all night, all day. I saw Bathsheba split out the back door. That stuff got around too, even though, you know, you could be, you know, sentenced to death if you spoke up, but, you know, loose lips sink ships. So David was covering his tracks. Uriah being the ultimate soldier that this guy, if I had an army, this is the guy that I want. Okay? This guy is like the man. Faithful to the sword, faithful to your defense. You think that Uriah would be the guy that God's heart would be for, because he's done nothing except be true in this story. Uriah decides, you know what? No, this isn't for me. I don't feel right being here, sitting cozy by the fire with my wife, while my soldiers, while my troops are fighting an enemy which I despise. I'm going back to them. I'm going to go ahead and do what the king says, but I'm out of here, and I'm going back. David now is in a pickle, because if this baby is born and the word gets around, this isn't a good political situation for him, just like, you know, Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton. This isn't good. So he chooses, he comes up with another idea. This is great. You're going to love this one. He says, well, I know what I can do. I'm going to give Uriah a note as a messenger to give to his commanding officer when he gets there. And that note is going to say, kill Uriah. Make sure that you stand down in battle and you leave him out to hang to dry and he gets wiped out. That's why they say don't kill the messenger. Well, Uriah had his own message of death delivered by himself to the field commander in the field. What a story. So not only does David is a peeping Tom, quote-unquote, in today's world, pervert, looking down on women, bathing. He's also an adulterer, fornicator, has a baby out of wedlock, and on top of it all, he's a murderer, too, because he sends the note to kill Uriah when he gets back to battle. What a great, great guy. This is where you scratch your head a little bit and say, wow, God's love for us is pretty unbelievable. Because if this is one of God's favorite guys, who am I? If this is one of the guys that is the number one, you know, like, you know, Jesus, you know, John the Baptist, King David, these are, you know, this is where the hierarchy lies. Where do I fit? I may be up there too. Because in reality, you know, are you as bad as David? Can you put all those things on your sinful resume as David did? And still be accepted and still be one of God's, if not God's most favorite of all humans? Save his son? Own son? I think we have a good chance. I think we all have a good chance of being at that table. Because we know where David was and where he went. So I wanted to just give you this little insight on King David. I love the guy. He's just like me. He's just like you. And like I said, one of the things about King David, unlike other kings of that time and before, after, since, now, King David repented. He understood what was right and what was wrong. It doesn't mean that he was able to refrain from it, but he understood it, came to the realization he needed a salvation, be it God's forgiveness, and trust in the Word. That's why Dave, like I said in the beginning of the show, that David really was into God's Word. That's why he kept the Ten Commandments so close to his heart and said, let's get this done. We've got to take care of those pieces of rock, our foundation, our bedrock of what we think is correct, and I'm going to do what I have to do to bring that Ark of the Covenant back. God looked down at him no matter what and said, wow, this guy I really, really like, regardless of the murderer that he is, regardless of the fact that he was able to do the things that he did. Poor Uriah. What about that guy? I always said that. He has his place. I want to thank everybody, and I want to especially thank our sponsors again. Rebecca Lawler, Hearts of Hope Foundation, Robert at B&B, Jimmy James, the whole bunch of you to help make this show what it is. I want to send a special hello out there to all the online and live listeners today, especially Robert, B&B Builders. It's the first time we've had him. Our new callers, I want to thank you for stepping up to the plate and coming together this morning. I want to thank again Magdalena Gomez. What a phenomenal show this morning. I want to thank Maria DiGiovanni for everything you do and keeping it all afloat. I want to also thank, again, Rebecca Lawler Limited. Without her, we're nothing. So, Rebecca, thank you so much. I want to thank my listeners for hanging in there with me, and especially my archive listeners. Thank you so much for giving me a shot and giving this program a shot, you know, in your listening ears. I want to thank you again, and I'm going to be back next week with another program, hopefully something as exciting as this morning, something as juicy. I know today was a pretty juicy subject, but this is what the sanctuary is all about. So I want to just close by saying thank you again, and I will see you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.